We're going to learn Yom Daf Mem Aleph. We're going to start four lines from the top of the Omud. In the previous sugya, we had a discussion whether drawing the lots to determine which goat was going to be Lechatos Lashem, which one was going to be Le'azazil, they would draw the lots. Was it Ma'akev? Was it essential or not? That was the discussion in the previous Gemara. And the end of Daf Mem Amud Beis, the Gemara brought a Braisa, and that Braisa, the Gemara is going to continue discussing in today's Gemara. What did we see there? We saw there that there's a special pasuk that tells us that what determines which goat is going to be Lechatos and which one is going to be Le'azazil is only the lot and not Kriyas Shem. Regular kochim, you just say Harezu Chatos, Harezu Oilo, you just verbalize which animal should be for which korban, and that suffices. There's a special pasuk that says that regarding the Se'irim, the goats on Yom Kippur, that is not the case, and we have a special pasuk. The Gemara asked, or the Braisa there asked, why do we need a special pasuk? And the Gemara says, the Braisa said, because we would have had a kal v'chomer. That if you look elsewhere, we find that there's sometimes a set of birds, similar to the set of goats. You have a set of birds that one also has to determine which one is going to be a chatos, which one is going to be an oilo. And over there we see that geirol does not work. We do not find anywhere that virtue of making a geirol, drawing lots, can determine the status of each bird. And nonetheless, verbalizing the status of the bird is sufficient. So I may have thought that in the case of the goats, where using a lot, a geirol does work, where normally it doesn't, we would take it for granted that verbalizing the status of each goat, which normally would work, should even more so work here, because even drawing lots works. So we have a kal v'chomer that says that kriyas shem should be sufficient. That's why we need a special pasuk to say, no, regarding the goats, only a geirol works. And how that applied to the previous sugya we saw in the Gemara before. Omar of Chizda, four lines from the top of the Omud. Ein hakinin, when you have a set of birds, and there's a number of different people that would have brought a set of birds, and, for example, a Yeledes, a Metzera, a Zova, brings a set of birds, and one of them is going to be a Chatos, one of them is going to be an Oila. So, ein hakinin mispar shois, at what point can one determine which bird is a Chatos, which one is an Oila? Ela, only oibalekichas bailim, either at the point of sale, when the owners actually buy the birds, they buy a bird and say, I'm buying this one for a chatos, I'm buying this one for an oilo. Oy ba'asiyas kohen, or when the kohen actually does the avoida, he says, this bird is a chatos, this bird is an oilo. But in between the acquiring, between the lekicha and the asiyah, there's no way of determining where the birds are, what that means, what their status is. Omer of Simi Bar Ashi, my Talmud of Chizda, what would be the source for Rav Chizda that determining the status of each of the birds can only be done either at the time of the Lekicha or at the time of the Asiyah? Dechsev, we have two psukim. In one pasuk it says, V'imloy simtza yodo deyse v'lokcha. You take, you acquire, shtei toirim v'shtei b'nei yoyino, echad la'oilo v'echad l'chatos. That means that we attribute the determining which one is lechatos, which one is the oila, at the velokcha, at the time of the buying. And another pasuk is v'osu ha-kohen es ha-echot chatos v'es ha-echot oila, that the kohen, when he does the avoida, when he makes the avoida, one of them is lechatos, one is an oila. So you see, oi ba-lekicha, oi ba-asiya. That was Rav Chizda's statement with Rav Simi Bar Ashi's source. Meisve asks the Gemara, and now the Gemara is going to ask from the Braisa we mentioned before. We says v'asau chatos, that regarding the goats on Yom Kippur, that v'asau chatos, it's the geirol which determines the status of each of the goats. Ha-geirol oisa chatos, v'ein Hashem oisa chatos. That only drawing lots can determine their status and not verbalizing their status. Sheyochil, I may have thought, v'aloi dinhu, there's a kal v'chomer. Uma b'mokim sh'loi kiddush ha-geirol, in the case of the kinin, in the case of the pairs of birds, that we do not find anywhere that a geirol can determine their status. Nonetheless, kiddush ha-shem, they can verbalize the status of each bird. Mokim sh'kiddush ha-geirol, a time and place where the geirol it does suffice, for example, by the goats, can it not be taken for granted, shekadish Hashem, that at the very time when they're doing the goyrol, whilst they're doing the goyrol, if they were to verbalize the status of these goats instead of doing the goyrol, that it should be sufficient. And that's why we need a pasuk, Talmud Leimah Vasol Chatos. We need a special pasuk to tell us that HaGoyrol Oiseh Chatos Ve'in Hashem Oiseh Chatos. And here the big question is, V'ha-hocha, but at this point when you're drawing the lots, which is the point in time where the Kal V'chomer would have told you that you should be able to verbalize the status of the goats, D'lav Shas L'kicha, it's not the time that they acquired the goats, V'lav Shas Asiyahi, nor is it the time when they were actually shechting these goats. Or the one goat was going to be shechted, but only much later. The other goat was going to be sent la'azazel. Uktoni, nonetheless, to cover. It seems from the Kal V'chomer that at the point when the goyrol would work and would determine the status of the goats, the Kal V'chomer would say that Kriyas Shem would work. How can you say that Kriyas Shem works when we said before that Kriyas Shem only works either b'shas ha'lekicha or b'shas ha'asiya? So Omar Rava says you have to understand Kal V'chomer a little bit differently. We have that same Kal V'chomer, but the Kal V'chomer will not actually tell us that at the time when you can do the goyrol, you can also do Kriyas Shem. No. The goyrol works whenever the goyrol is supposed to work. Kriyas Shem would only ever work either B'Shas Lekicha or B'Shas Asiya. And the Kal V'chomer is telling us that if goyrol works when it works, then Kal V'chomer, Kriyas Shem should work when it works, either B'Shas Lekicha or B'Shas Asiya, and that's why we need the pasuk to say that Kriyas Shem does not work at all by the goyrol, by the goats, and you need only the goyrol. Omer Rav, Hochi Koma, this is how you have to understand the Braisa. Ma b'mokim shelo ikidish ha-goyrol. If in the case of the birds, where we don't find the concept of lots, va'afilu B'Shas Lekicha, va'afilu B'Shas Asiya, and nonetheless, and even at the time of acquiring the birds, or at the time of doing the avoida, of shechting, whatever you do with the birds, the malika, that we do not find that the goyrol works then. Nonetheless, kiddush Hashem, verbalizing at that point, b'shas lekicha, b'shas asiya, that it does work, it does determine their status. Then mokim shekiddush ha-goyrol, shaloi b'shas lekicha, v'shaloi b'shas asiya. Then regarding the goats, where even shaloi b'shas asiya and shaloi b'shas lekicha, we find that the goyrol works. Eino din, can we not take it for granted? Sheikadish Hashem, that verbalizing their status should work when b'shas lekicha or b'shas asiya, whenever verbalizing would work, which is either b'shas asiya or b'shas lekicha, that would have been the Kal V'chomer. Talmud Leima, that's why we need the pasuk v'asau chatos, that ha-goyrol oiseh chatos v'ein Hashem oiseh chatos, that regarding the goats, the status is determined only by the goyrol, not by Kriyas Shem. So Rava explained to us the Braisa, that the Braisa is not actually telling us that you can do Kriyas Shem, or was not even suggesting that you would be able to do Kriyas Shem at any point other than Shas Lekicha and Shas Asiya. Continues the Gemara. Toshima Metamei Mikdosh. If somebody went into the Beis HaMikdosh when he's Tomei, then he has to bring a korban which is called korban oile v'yoyered. It's up and down. What does it mean, up and down? It depends on your financial status. There's three stages. There's a person who's rich, there's a person who's poor, and there's a person who's very poor. And depends either whether he brings an animal, whether he brings birds, or whether he brings just flour, a mincha. So those are the three levels. So the Braisa says, if some such a person who's metame mikdosh, then oni, he was an oni at first, when he became chayev, when he was metame mikdosh, he was a poor person. V'hifrish mois lekinoi, he separated money to be dedicated for his pair of birds. If he's poor, he has to bring a set of birds, one for a chatos, one for an oila. If he's rich, he only brings an animal, no birds, and he only brings a chatos, not an oila. If he's poor, he brings a set of birds, one as a chatos, one as an oila. So he separated money for his set of birds. V'heshir, and then he became rich. V'acharkach, we're just reading the Braisa at face value. Soon the Gemara is going to change the sequence. But the sequence in the Braisa is that after he became rich, V'charkach Omar, he said, Eilu, this part of the money, he had a pile of money he separated for the two birds. He took part of the money and said, this part of the money is lechatos, is dedicated for my chatos. V'eilu lo'ilosei, and this part of the money will be dedicated for my oilo. So to speak, he was kaira shame. He verbalized the status of the pile of money, of the different coins, at some point after he became rich. What does he do? Since now he's rich, he has to bring an animal, not a bird, and only a chatos. So he adds on from his own pocket, he adds on more coins, more money to the pile of chatos coins until he has enough money to buy an animal chatos. He cannot use the part of the money that was designated for oila to pay for his korban chatos. So that's what we saw. That's a brisa. Ask the Gemara. V'ahacha, over here, he separated this money previously. It says v'hifrish mois lekinei. First he separated the money, then he became rich, and only afterwards he said, this part of the money is chatos, this part of the money is oila. That's called determining the status of hekdesh money. When's he doing that? Not at the time that the coins became hekdesh, which would be called the shas lekicha, and not at the times where he separated the coins, and not at the time where he's doing the avoida. He's just at some point in the middle of nowhere. He's got a pile of coins. He's saying these coins are chatos, these coins are oilo. V'hocha delav shas lekicha v'lav shas asiyahi uktoni dekova. Nonetheless, you say that the status of these coins gets determined to the point that you cannot change it afterwards. As we said, you cannot use the oilo coins to help pay for the chatos he has to bring. How can that be? How can you be makdish these coins, and how can you determine which coins are chatos, which coins are oilo, if it's not b'shas lekicha, not b'shas asiyo? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Sheshes. V'tizbara, do you really think that everything about this brisa is straightforward? There seems to be some confusion in this brisa. V'homer Rabbi Elazar Omer b'Yishya. Metame Migdosh, did Rabbi Elazar not say in the name of Rabbi Yishya that this person who was Metame, he went into the Beis HaMikdosh when he was Tommy, then Oshir, if he's a rich person, v'hevi korban oni, and he brings a korban that is suited for an oni, namely a set of birds, lo yotza, he's not yotza. And v'kiven de lo yotza heicha kova. This person, the brisa says, v'hesher, he became rich, v'achakach, and after he became rich, he said, these coins are for chatos, these coins are for oila. Oila is only for a poor person. A rich person doesn't bring an oila for Tommy Mikdosh. So how did these coins bichlal become oila if he's not chayiv an oila? He said, these coins are going to be for my oila that I have to pay because I was Tommy Mikdosh. You're a rich man now. You don't need to bring an oila. So how do you understand the brisa? Elomai yislach lemeimer. What do you have to say? Shekvar omar mi ani yusoy. You have to read the brisa in a different order. You say that you'd have to read Toshma mitami Mikdosh, and he was an oni. V'hifrish mois lekinoi. He separated money, and he said, Eilu lechatos, these coins are for chatos, and these coins are for oilo, and only achakach hesher, only afterwards he became rich, not in the sequence that we have in our brisa. And since you, in any case, have to change the brisa from the way it is in front of us, hochanami, change it a bit more. Shekvar omar, mishas hafrosha. Then you'll say that, hifrish mois lekinoi, and b'shas hafrosha, whilst he separated the coins, he immediately said, these coins are chatos, these coins are oilo, and afterwards you became rich. So once you can change the brisa, according to Belos Omer Rabbeishio, that's how we'll change the brisa. And then the brisa will be talking about that he determined the status of the coins as he separated them. Says the Gemara, okay, according to Belos Omer Rabbeishio, who said that a rich person who brings the korbanis of a poor man is not yaitza, we understand that the brisa must be confused a little bit, we can change it. However, Reb Chaga Omer Rabbeishio, according to Reb Chaga Omer Rabbeishio, who says to Omer Yotza, who says that at a pinch, if a rich man brings the korban of a poor man, he is yaitza, which means that this person, even after he became rich, he can set aside the money and say, it's for an oila, because if he brings the birds, his yaitza, even though he's rich. So according to him, according to Chagol, we don't need to say the brice is confused. If the brice is not confused, then if you read the brice at face value, you see that he determined the status of the coins, not b'shas lekicha, and not b'shas asiya. How are you going to understand that? It seems to contradict what we saw from Rav Chisda. At the beginning of the daf, the Rav Chisda said, ein akinin mispar shreis elo oy b'lekichas b'aylim oy b'asiyas koin. Answers the Gemara, loy tema, even though it's not a completely confused brisa, which is a mashabeshta, which is a brisa that's mixed up. No, it's just that when the Tanoim was saying over the brisa, they slipped, they forgot one word. Loy tema, don't say va'achar kach omar, that after he became rich, or when it says he became rich, va'achar kach, and afterwards, omar, he said, Eilu lechatos or eilu loilos, these parts of the coins are chatos, these are oilo. Don't read it like that. Elo eimo, you should read it, v'achar kach lokach v'omar. He took those coins, he bought the birds with it, he bought the birds, and at the point of buying the birds, he determined the status of the birds. That's called shas lekicha. And that's fine. At that point, he can determine the status of the birds. Says the Gemara, lokach Moisif umevi choivosoi mainihu. I don't understand. Are you saying that he already bought the birds? But read the brisa, another few words. The brisa says that after he determined which was chatos, which was oila, then he brings more money from the home in order to buy a chatos, because now he's rich. He cannot suffice with the bird korban. He has to buy a chatos. And oila he doesn't bring at all, because he's not chayv oila, he's a rich person. So how can you say that Moisef umevi choivosoi, he's already bought a chatos bird? Says the Gemara, the Porikle, are you going to suggest that he redeemed the bird that he made into a chatos, redeemed, and with that money, he's got partial chatos money, he'll add on money onto those coins and buy an animal? We know, and this is a Gemara in Menachos Daf Kuf, that the concept of redeeming a hegdish animal doesn't apply to birds. So you cannot redeem it. And if you're talking about that he's already dedicated and made the birds and said which bird is going to be chatos, which is an oila, what does it mean he has to add on for his animal, to bring a chatos of an animal? He doesn't add on to anything. Or maybe he has to bring a chatos, an animal, but he doesn't add on to the chatos he already had. It's now a chatos bird, which he cannot bring. So Omar of Papa, says, I'll explain to you how the words that we said, that eilu lechatosei ve'eilu loilosei, that he designated which bird was a chatos, which was an oila, would be going on the birds, not on the coins, because it cannot be going on the coins, as we said before, it's not shas lekicha and not shas asiya. It can be going on the birds, and nonetheless, I can explain to you that there's a concept of adding on. How would that be? So he says it's talking about where he bought one of the birds. Kegoin shelokach preid achas, he bought one of the birds. And ilo'i oilo zoven, when he bought this bird, he said, this bird, at the shas lekicha, he said, this bird is oilo. Now, by default, the rest of the money is going to be chatos money. He's already bought the oilo bird, and now he's got the rest of the money is going to be for chatos. So what's he do? Moisif umevi choivosi. He adds on more coins from home onto those remaining coins. With that, he buys a chatos. V'hai oila, what are you going to do with this oila bird that he's already designated as an oila? He's a rich man. For Matami Mikdosh, he doesn't bring an oila. Oslo l'nedova, he brings it as a nedova, as a gift for the Hegdash, not as an oila for Matami Mikdosh. I chatos zovin. If, however, he bought the bird that he bought, he says, this is my chatos bird, then in that case, so you cannot just add on extra coins to those remaining coins which were going to be for oila and buy a chatos with it, because those coins are now designated for oila. So he has to bring a chatos from his own money from home, not using these coins. V'hai chatos, but this chatos, which he's already bought the bird and said, this is a chatos, and since he's now a rich man, he cannot use this chatos. He has to bring an animal, not a bird. Oslo lemisa, then this chatos has to be put to death, as we've learned in the sugya of chatos hamesos. In this case, when somebody dedicated an animal for a chatos and then didn't end up using it, then the chatos has to be put to death. Continues the Gemara Gufa. Omer Blaza Omer Bhoshia. Metame Migdosh Oshir Vehavi Korban Oni Lo Yotza Rab Chaga Omer Bhoshia Yotza. We saw before at the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph Omed Aleph, we saw machlekas between Rabbi Elazar Omer Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Chaga Omer Rabbi Yoshia. There's a discussion here whether it's Omer Rabbi Yoshia, Omer Rabbi Yoshia, but either way, there was a machlekas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Chaga, whether if a rich man brings the korbanis of a poor man, if he was Yotza. And we saw that according to Rabbi Elazar, he says that an Osher who brings a rich man who brings the korbanis of a poor man, he's not Yotza. Meisvei. That was Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Chaga says that he is Yotza. And we're going to ask a question against Rabbi Chaga. Meisvei. Metzaira, you learned in the Mishnah in Nagoyim that Metzaira oni shehevi korban osher Yotza. If a poor Metzaira, and Metzaira also is one of the places where there's a different korban for a rich Metzaira and for a poor Metzaira. So if a poor Metzaira brings the korbanis of a rich Metzaira, he's Yotza. Osher shehevi korban oni. If, however, a rich man brings the korban of a poor man, lo yotza, he's not yotza. It's an explicit mishnah. So how can you, Rav Chaga, Omer Rav Yoshia, say that an osher who brings the korban of an oni is yotza? I've got an explicit mishnah by Metzaira that he's not yotza. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasan, by Metzaira is different. Because Metzaira d'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, zois tia teiras ha-Metzaira. Zois means this that the Torah tells you, and don't change. And since the Torah tells a rich man to bring a korban of a rich man, therefore, if he brings the korban of a poor man, he's not yotza. However, anywhere else where there's a korban oil of a yoyred, in any other case where a rich and a poor man don't bring the same korban, so according to Rav Chaga, if a rich man brings the korban of the poor man, he's yotza. Just by Metzaira is different. Asks the Gemara Ihachi, if you have a pasuk that says that by Metzaira the person has to bring the korban the Torah tells him to bring, Reishanami, then in the case where the poor man brings the korban of the rich man, the same word Zois should apply, that poor man cannot bring the korban of the rich man. And it says at the beginning of the Mishnah, Metzaira oni shehevi korban osher, yotza. Answers the Gemara, Harabi Rachmana Toiras. It's true that it says Zois, it must be this. But it also says, Zois tier, Toiras Metzaira, the laws of Metzaira, there's a single Torah, single set of laws that applies to anyone. That means there must be one type of korban that globally can be brought by everybody. That's from the word Toiras. Votanyan, indeed, we saw that in the Braisa, that Toiras, the word Toiras, Lerabis Metzaira Oni, Shevi Korban Osher. That to tell us that a korban osher works for everybody. Even a poor man who brings the korban of a rich man is yotza. Yochel afilu osher shehevi korban oni. I may have thought that even a rich man who brings the korban of a poor man is yotza. Talmud lema zois. That's what the word zois tells us, that he has to bring the korban of a rich man. He's not yotza with the korban of a poor man. Asks the Gemara of an Elif Mino, why don't you say that in the case of Metami Mikdosh, for example, it should also be Ma'akev, and a rich man who brings the korban of a poor man is not Yotza, and we should learn that from Metzaira. According to Rav Chaga, there's a difference between Metzaira and Metami Mikdosh. By Metami Mikdosh, a rich man who brings the poor man's korban is Yotza, by Metzaira is not Yotza. Says the Gemara, no. Miot Rachmona, there's a special word in the Pasuk that we learn, V'imdal Hu. And from there we learn that only regarding Metzaira, the poor man brings the korban of the poor man, and the rich man who brings the korban of the poor man is not Yotza. It's only by Metzaira, and don't learn from here to anywhere else. So it's as if to say that the pasuk in Metzaira itself tells us not to learn from Metzaira to anywhere else. Continues the next Mishnah. We go back to our Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. He's done the lots, he's determined which of the two goats are chatos and which of the two goats are la'azazel. Says the Mishnah, koshar, he would tie loshen shel zahiris, a strip of red wool, b'roish soira mishtalech, on the head, by the horns, on the head of the soir that was going to be sent away to the azazel. V'he'emidoy, and you should stand this goat, keneged beis shiluchoy, facing the entrance or the exit, the door that through which he was going to be sent to the Azazel. And now we have four cryptic words which the Gemara is going to discuss. Ulenishchat, and to the second goat, the one that's going to be shechted as a chatos, keneged, facing, beis shchitosi. the place of the shechita. We don't know what this means. Does that mean that we place the animal facing the azara, which is the where he's going to be shechted, or does it mean that there's going to tie a strip of red wool onto this goat, and where they're going to put it, connected beis shechitaso, not on its head, but on its neck, which is where it's going to be shechted. That the Gemara is going to discuss that. After he ties the strip of wool onto the goat, he goes back to the place bein ha'ulam lamizbeach, where his bull is standing, shnia, a second time, and he again leans his two hands on the head of the bull, and he again confesses. He confessed the first time for his own averus and averus of his family. Now he's confessing on behalf of the whole Shevet Kuhuna. This is what he would say. Ono Hashem, Chotasi, I sinned by mistake. Ovisi, I sinned intentionally. Uposhati, and I rebelled. Lefanecha, in front, before you. Ani, Uvesi, me, my household. Ubnei Aaron, and all the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, HaKohen. Am Kodeshecha, your holy people. Ono Hashem, the Kohen God is beseeching Hashem, Kaperno, forgive us, atone us, la'avoinus, ulepshoim, ulechatoim, sha'ovisi, ushaposhati, ushachatosi, lufanecho, ani uveisi, me and my household, ubne arinam kudeshecho, kakosu beseris meshavdecho, as it says in the posuk, ki bayoim azeh, on this day of Yom Kippur, yechaper aleichem, Hashem will forgive you and atone you, letayer eschem and cleanse you, mikol chatiseichem, from all your sins, lifne Hashem titoru, before Hashem, you will be cleansed. V'hein oinin acharov, when the people who heard him saying Hashem's name, they would respond, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusoi lo'olam v'ed. And exactly what Chotosi, Ovisi, and Poshati means, and the order that it was said, we already saw in a previous Gemara. Says the Gemara, Boiluhu, in the yeshiva, they asked the question, on these four words we mentioned, Ule Nishchat Keneged Beis Shechitosoi, what does it mean? Ule Nishchat, is it referring a Kshira Koi? They're talking about tying, that they would tie a strip of red wool onto the head of the goat that was going to be Lechatos, and Keneged Beis Shechitosoi means, instead of putting it on its horns, on its head, it was put on its neck. Oy ha'amodukoi, or is it talking about the position and place that it was stood, which is facing the Azara? We're going to try and bring proof. Toshima, the Tanya of Yosef, the Braisa of Yosef said as follows. Kosher loshin shel zohiris b'roish soira mishtalech. They would tie a strip of red wool on the head of the soira, of the goat that was going to be sent away. Ve'amidei keneged beis shiluchai, and they stood it facing the exit where he was going to be taken to the Azazel. Ulenishchat, and again, the same four cryptic words. Lenishchat, the other korban, the one that was going to be shechted, is a chatos, keneged beis shchitosoi, was facing its shchita. What does that mean? But here in the Braisa adds on a few words. And from these few words, it will help us understand what he actually did with the nishchat. Why did he do lenishchat keneged beis shchitosoi? Is shelo yis'arev zeh bezeh, in order that the two goats, the one that was going to go la'azazel and the one that was going to go to chatos, would not get mixed up. V'lo yis'arev b'cheirim, nor will they get mixed up with a different goat, because there's going to be another goat, which is a korban musaf of Yom Kippur, that shouldn't get confused with that goat either. That's what Rav Yosef recorded, that's what the Braisa says. So now the Gemara is saying, I omras b'shleima k'shira koi, if you say that the words that lenishchat keneged beis shchitosoi means that you tied a piece of wool on the neck of the goat that was going to be a chatos, shapir, then I can understand. We have three goats, one is going la'azazel, one is a chatos, the other one is going to be the korban musaf. Then I can understand that they will not get mixed up, because one of them has a strip of wool on its horns, on its head, one has a strip of wool on its neck, and the other one doesn't have a strip of wool. Eloi omras amodukoi, but if you say it's just the way it was standing, nehide b'chavrei loy miarov, that it's true that the goat that was going to go la'azazil and the goat that was going to be a zechatos would not get confused, because the goat that was going la'azazil has a strip of wool on it, and the goat that was lechatos does not have a strip of wool on it, according to this opinion. Dehar kotirle, this one has a strip tied to it. V'hayloi kotirbe, but achrinim yos ma'ariv. But what's going to be the distinction between the korban which is lechatos, which has no strip tied to it, and the korban musaf that has no strip? Is two goats that could get confused. Elolav shma mino, from the fact that the braisa said that tying the goats was in order to avoid confusion, it must be akshira koi, it must be that it's telling us that even the korban which was lechatos had a strip tied to its neck, not on its horns, not on its head, but to its neck. And therefore, there's no way it would get confused with the korban, with the soil of the goat that was for the korban musaf. Shema mino, and that's the proof. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Shtei l'shoinois shomati." We find a number of times in the Torah that this strip of red wool was used. Two of those times, we're about to see what they were. One is by the Parah Aduma, and one is by the soil mishtaleach. The soira mishtaleach, they would tie a zahiris, the loshen shel zahiris, onto its head, and by the paraduma they would wrap the ezoiv and the cedar wood. They would wrap it with this strip of wool and throw it into the fire of the paraduma. It's not the only times that we mention this loshen shel zahiris, but it's two of the times in the Torah that it's used. Achas shel para, one by the paraduma, v'achas shel soira hamishtaleach. And Rabbi Yitzchak said that between these two, there's a difference between them. Achas tzricha shiur, one of them has a minimum measure, v'achas eino tzricha shiur, and the other one has no minimum measure. V'lo yodano, says Rabbi Yitzchak, I don't know, hay minayu. I don't know if it's the one that was burnt with the paraduma is the one that needed the measure, or if it's the one which was tied on the soira mishtaleach that needed the measure. Omer of Yosef. So Rav Yosef suggested and said, "Nechzanon, let's try and discuss this. Let's see. Shel soira mishtaleach, the boya chaluka, the soira mishtaleach. We know that the strip had to be cut into two. It was split into two. Half was tied onto a stone, and half was tied onto the head of the onto the horns of the soira mishtaleach." And since it must be able to be split into two, we're going to learn about this later on Daf Samech Zayin. Since it's split into two, it must be there's a minimum measure, the minimum amount that you can split into two. Boya shiur v'shel pora d'loy boya chaluka. However, the strip of wool that was burnt with a pora duma that does not need to be split, loy boya shiur, does not need a measure. Maskif l'aromi bar choma, rom bar choma questioned Rav Yosef on this, because we learned that the pora nami boya kovid. We know by a pora aduma that it's very important that there's a sufficient weight in the strip of wool that would make it fall right into the fire. We learned it from a pasuk that says that it's got to be el toich sreifas apora. It's got to go right into the fire. If it's very, very light, it will just burn up before it gets to the coals. When it's still in mid-air, it will be completely burnt. And since we need the weight, you need a significant amount of wool. If so, it would seem that the paraduma needs a measure. Omar le Rava, Rava said, Kovid tanoihi. It's actually a machloikas tanoim, whether indeed it's ma'akav, it's essential that this wool gets burnt right in the middle of the fire and not just on top. And when Rav Yosef explained, or when Rav Yitzchok said that one of the two Lushenus, one of the two strips of wool, do not need any weight, do not need a minimum measure, it must be he was following that Tana who holds that it does not need a minimum weight, and therefore the wool that was burnt with the paraduma that did not need to be split into two had no minimum measure, but the soira mishtaleach did. Asks the Gemara, de poro loy boya chaluka, you're saying that the wool that was burnt with the paraduma did not need to be split. That was only by the soira mishtaleach. Eisvei Abaya. Abaya is going to ask from here. Keitza du oisa. What does he do? How does he burn the wood, the cedar wood, and the wool? Koirchon b'shiorei loshin. He wraps up the eres, the cedar wood, and the ezoiv, and the grass, the other plant. He wraps it up with the remainder of the wool. What does it mean with the remainder of the wool? It must be that he's only wrapping it up with part of the wool. He splits the wool into two. Part of it is used to wrap up the Ezoiv and the Erez. So you see that even there it needs to be split. Says the Gemara, no, Ema, you should read not B'shiorei Loshen, the remainder of the strip of wool, rather Ema B'zon of Loshen, from the strip of wool that its shape is similar, is a long shape, it's been combed out, and it's got the shape of a tail, and it means you should wrap it up with the tail of wool, and therefore it doesn't say shiori, it doesn't say remainder, therefore it does not need to be split, and therefore Mother Paraduma, there is no minimum measure. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav Chonin Omar Rav, who said in the name of Rav, Eitz Erez, this piece of cedar wood, Ushlito Eloas, and the red wool that was burnt with the Paraduma, Shekel Toson Shalheves, if the flame engulfed it, even before it reached the middle of the fire, before it reached the coals, Kshera, it's kosher. That's what was said in the name of Rav. Meisei, this seems to contradict the Braisa. Nishavhev haloshin, if the strip of wool became burnt, then in the flame, mevi loshin achir. Umekadesh, you have to bring another strip and mekadesh and dedicate it for the avoid for the Porah Aduma and burn it. Omar Abaya says there's a fundamental difference between when it got burnt in the flame. Loi kosher, kan bekeilachas, if it's a rising flame, if it's a flame which is high up and it got burnt in the flame that's nowhere near the base of the fire, that indeed would be a problem. Kan, however, when it says in that when Rav said that it's kosher, is benichfefes, is talking about a crouching flame, where the flame is very, very close to the coals, and just there it's considered as if it got burnt, not above the fire, it got burnt in the fire, and then it's kosher. Rava Omar, Rava answers and says that there's no issue of Rav that seems to contradict this Braisa where it says Nishavhev Haloshin, that if it got burnt in the air, that the Braisa says it's not kosher, and you have to bring another one. Rav said it was kosher. Rava said, Kovid, this halacha, this need that the wool get burnt in the toich ha'ish, in the middle of the fire, in the toich shreifa saporo, is tanoi, is a machlokes tanoim. So the Braisa is following one opinion, and Rav is following the other opinion. D'tani, we learned in the Braisa, lomo korchon, why did he have to wrap up the cedar wood and the ezov and those grasses with the wool? Why? So the Tanakhama says, Rebbe says, k'dei sheyu kulon baguda achas, because it says, v'lokach, you have to take all three things together. How do you take all three together? By tying them together. It's a single taking for all three. That's what Rebbe's opinion. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon Omer, k'dei sheyeh ben kovud, we wrap them up in order it should have weight. V'yiplu, you can throw it right into the middle of the fire. L'toich sheifas haporo. So you see clearly, according to Rebbe, you don't need the weight. You don't need it to get into the middle of the fire. According to Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, you do. So Rav, who said that if it got burnt in mid-air, it's kosher, is following Rebbe, who says that it doesn't matter if it doesn't get right into the middle of the fire. However, the Braisa that said that Nishavev Haloshen, Mevi Loshen Acher Mekadesh, is following Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, who says that they have to be, it has to be Yiplu, has to fall right into the middle of the fire. Continues the Gemara, Ki Osar of Dimi Om Rabbi Yechanon. Now it was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, that beforehand we said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok, that he was talking about two different types of strips of wool, Paraduma and Sorim Meshtaleach, he was talking about the measure. Now we have in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, he's actually talking about Shalosh Lashonis, three strips of wool that are mentioned in the Torah. Shalosh Lashonis Shemati, Achas Shel Pora, one that was burnt to the Paraduma, V'achas Shel Sorim Meshtaleach, one that was tied to the horns of the goat that was going to go to the Azazel, v'achas shel metzora, and by the metzora also we needed a strip of wool. And Rabbi Yechanan knew that achas, one of these three mishkal asara zuz, it had to weigh 10 zuz. V'achas mishkal shnei sloim, the other one had to weigh 2 sloim. V'achas mishkal shekel, the other one had to weigh just 1 shekel. Ve'eni lefarish, and Rav Dimi said that Rabbi Yechanon made this statement, but I, Rav Dimi, don't know which of the three strips of wool had to be which of the three weights. Ki osa Ravin,
When Ravin came, Pirush HaMashmeid Rabbi Yechanan, he said, I'll tell you, Rabbi Yechanan told me, and I'll, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, I'll explain it to you. Shel Pora, the one of Pora Aduma, Mishkal Asarozos, that has to be the heaviest. As we said before, it has to be heavy to go right into the fire. It had to weigh Asarozos. Shel Soira Mishtalech, the one that was put on the goat, which didn't need to be that heavy, but it did need to be large enough that it could be split into two, half that was going to go onto the horns of the Soir and half that was going to go on tied to the stone, to the rock. Mishkal Shnei Sloim, it had to weigh two Sloim. Vashel Metzaira, the one that was for the Metzaira that didn't need the weight and didn't need to be split. Mishkal Echo, Mishkal Shekel, it can weigh just as much of a shekel, and that is enough. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Pligi Barab Shimon ben Chalafta v'Rabbonon. Rabbi Yechanan said there was actually machlokes between Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta and the Chachomim b'poro regarding the weight of the wool that was burnt with the Pora Aduma. Chad Omar, one of the two opinions held, Mishkal Asara, they had to weigh 10 zuz. V'chad Omar Mishkal Shekel, and the other one said it had to weigh just a shekel. And it's going from one extreme to the other. Nobody said that the wool of the Pora Aduma could weigh just two sloim. It was either one extreme 10 zuz or the other extreme a shekel. But Simonach, and to remember that it's two opinions are the two extremes, you can remember what it says, Echod hamarbe ve'echod hamamit, which is Chazal bring that Echod hamarbe ve'echod hamamit, irrespective if we bring a lot or a little, ubelvad sheyichavin libei lashamayim, is brought in a few places in Shas. However, over here we're saying, remember, Echod HaMarbe, one of the opinions say the maximum, which is 10 zuz, Ve'echod HaMamit, the other opinion says, it's the minimum, which is just a shekel. Omle Rabbi Yirmiyah Medifta L'Ravina. Rabbi Yirmiyah Medifta said to Ravina, not like Rabbi Yechanan, who said that the Machlekes of Shimon ben Chalafta and Rabbonon is by the wool of the Pora Aduma. No, Loi B'Pora Pligi, they're not arguing by Pora Aduma, Elo B'Soira Mishtalech, they're arguing by the goat that was going to be sent to Azazel. Pligi, that's where the Machlekes was. And one of the opinions said Mishkal Asarozuz, and one of the opinions says Mishkal Shekel. Vahu Yoima, and that day, that they were arguing whether that day that Shimon ben Chalafta and the Rabbanon were arguing whether the wool was the weight of 10 zuz or the weight of a shekel, that day Noch Nachshei de Rabbia Bar Kisi, a big chacham by the name of Rabbia Bar Kisi, was nifti, he passed away. Va'onchu ba simono, and they made a simon, this Rabbia Bar Kisi mechaper kasoyer mishtaleach. That Rabbi Yirmiyah Medifta said in the name of Ravina that the machlekus there was regarding the size of the wool, the weight of the wool that was put onto the soira mishtaleach, and that day this chacham passed away. So they said, in the same way as the soira mishtaleach atoned for Klal Yisrael, so too the passing of Rav Yehuda Bar Kisi, which was the very day that we discussed in the Beis HaMedrash, the halachas of the soira mishtaleach, his passing away is also an atonement for Klal Yisrael, as the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Chav Ches says that Misas Tzadikim, the passing of Tzadikim, atones for Klal Yisrael. In the next year, we're going to continue from here.